Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. Galatians 6, 1. Brethren, so he's obviously talking to Christians here, the churches of Galatia. The nine churches were in the churches of Galatia. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. People often ask me, Pastor, how do we deal with somebody who's been in sin? Restore them. Love them. Be encouraging to them. Help them. You got to be honest with them, but you got to be encouraging. I shudder when Christians are mean or rude to other Christians who have fallen. But for the grace of God, there go I. I mean, I'd be in the same boat if we're not careful. Verse number 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Bear one another's burdens. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. What is that talking about? I'm not going to go into the whole ordeal here, but there's a balance act. Don't throw all your burdens on people. You have to carry some of your own burdens. Don't be a taker. Don't be a pain. Don't as soon as you have a problem, try to throw that off on people. Work it out. Every man shall bear his own burden. You say, well, you just said bear one another's burdens. Right. So I should bear my burden and your burden. And you should bear your burden and my burden. And if I'm bearing my burden and your burden and you're bearing your burden and my burden, burdens are being bore. Are you with me there? That's what he's saying. There's a balance there. There's a balance. The Christian life is about balance. So I'm going to help you. You're going to help me. But we're not going to give up. We still have to be under the weight of the burden. For every man shall bear his own burden. Verse number 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. I'm talking about care of the pastor. Verse number 7. And be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Do you ever wonder why sometimes people just seem to stay in that cycle of destruction or defeat? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Like every decision they make is a dumb one or a bad one or a silly one. The biblical principle is you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. And that's why he says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we hear this around mission conference time a lot when it comes to giving, and that's totally fine, it's totally acceptable, but that is not what is being spoken of in this text. What he's speaking of is the Christian character and Christian development as individuals. If I sow love, I'm going to reap love. If I sow joy, I'm going to reap joy. You realize that happy people have happy people as friends? If I sow peace, I'm going to reap peace. I can't sow bitterness and reap peace. I've been dealing with some people this week. They've sown bitterness, and then they're mad when people don't want to be around them. They've sown bitterness, and then this was the phrase that I've heard. Well, I just wanted relationships with people. Well, then don't sow bitterness, because bitterness reaps bitterness. Don't sow anger, because anger reaps anger. Don't sow ticked offedness. It's one of those negative biblical characteristics, because that's what you're going to reap. You reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow, and you reap after you sow. And though that's true in missions financially, it is much more true relationally with folks. Something just to consider. You say, what are we talking about? Well, we're going to someplace good, but I want you to know the text, as Paul has given proverbial and pastoral care to the churches of Galatia. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to your flesh as opposed to the Spirit, you're going to reap corruption. But if you sow to your Spirit, of the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. And verse number 9, and be not weary. This is what I want to look at today. And be not weary, and let us not be weary, I should read it right, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. When Paul is talking about God not being mocked, whatsoever we sow we reap. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption of the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then he says this, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't get, if you will, tired, The word weary means tired, fatigued. It's not a word that we use very much anymore. There's a group of young pastors that I know, and sometimes when you ask them how they're doing, they're really spiritual. So Vern knows what I'm talking about. They're like, hey, you know, I'm weary. Like, does that mean you're, and I always joke around with them, does that mean you're tired? Or is that like your new gang name? We're the Wearies, you know, I don't know, you know, it's like W. I don't know, just, I'm weary. No, it's not a word we use, but it literally means, we all understand the context of it, be not weary. Don't get tired in doing the right thing. Don't get weary in doing the right thing. How many of you ever get tired of doing the right thing? I know I do. Sometimes don't you feel like, man, I would just want to do the wrong thing because I'm tired of doing the right thing? Because people who do the wrong thing seems like everything goes well for them, and I'm trying to do the right thing and it seems like nothing's going right for me. I see a lot of heads nodding. It feels that way at times, doesn't it? Like, come on, Jesus, I'm trying, and they're not. And they got the promotion, or they got the pay raise, or their kids are doing well, or they're not sick, or you can put whatever it in that you want to, you know. That's fine. This is what the Scripture is telling. Paul is saying to the churches, don't be weary. Don't get tired in doing the right thing. My fear for most young Christians is, and we understand this from the Gospels, my fear with most young Christians is it's really easy to start out doing well. It's exciting to do well. It's fun to do well. It's a thrill to do well. Like, oh man, yeah, this is great. This is so much fun. But then what happens? Challenges, difficulties, people say things they shouldn't. People that you love turn their back on you because of what you believe or what you stand for, even if you don't even say a word. You ever realize people will reject you even when you don't say a word to them? And he says, don't be weary. Don't be weary in well-doing. Sometimes people say, you go to church? I'm like, yeah, I'm a pastor. I have to be there. I go, how often do you go? I'm like, I go on Sundays. You guys have just one service on a Sunday? No, we go Sunday morning, and then we have like a Sunday afternoon evening service. Now evening. You go. They're like, whoa, you go twice on Sundays? I'm like, yeah. Like to the same service? No, it's completely different. So you have to talk twice about two completely different things on a Sunday? I'm like, well, I try to. Yeah, sometimes a little overlap, but yeah, I try to. And they're like, so just on Sundays? Well, then we have connection groups on Wednesday night. Either I'm counseling people or I'm in a connection group or I'm teaching something. Yeah. So you go like three times a week? Yeah. You read your Bible every day? Yeah. Dude. How many of you have been around people that can't even process that? Like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, you know what you're doing? You're doing well. And if we're not careful, we'll believe the lie of Satan. We're going to stop doing the right thing. Be not weary in well-doing. Why? It says it here. This is the way you should read your Bible. Ask the why question all the time. For in due season. What's due season? In the right time. In the right time. In due season, what are you going to do? You're going to reap. What's reap? It's a synonym. It's the ideal is the same as you'll get the reward. For in due season, you will reap. How? If you faint. Come on, say it with me. If you faint. Sometimes we do things right. Sometimes we try to live right. We try to follow the plan and path of God. And things just don't work out well. Anybody ever try to want to give up? We do. Want to give up. Want to quit. Like, man, this just didn't work out. But it's not due season. It's not the right time. Well, when is the right time? I don't know. This isn't prosperity theology. I mean, the Bible says it really clearly. This isn't if you do this, the direct result will be 6 months from now, you get this. Not that at all. Not that at all. There's just a due season. Due season definitely means eternity. We know that. Your reward might not be till you stand before Jesus. We are very short-sighted. And I'm not being negative. I'm saying all of us are very short-sighted. We view the world in days. Some parts of the world, they view it in seasons like harvest season, nine-month periods of time. Some parts of the world, they do it that. But Westerners, us, we view it in days. And now with the advent of the internet, how many of you refresh your Facebook or your news feed just to see if a major world event happened in the last 45 seconds? We do, don't we? I mean, I found myself like clicking, oh, I just wonder if something happened I need to know about. And then 45 seconds later, I just checked. Yeah. We're so quick. The idea of due season is in a time. Some of you invited folks to open house, Light of the World, and you're like, man, Pastor, they didn't come. That's all right. It's okay. They'll come eventually. Well, can you guarantee it? No, I can't guarantee it. I can't guarantee when they'll come. I just assume. I have faith that they'll come. I believe that. Some of you might be struggling with a kid that's been a little wayward. Just keep loving, praying, serving them, ministering to them. Teaching them the Word of God when you have opportunity and influence if they're out of the house. Teaching them directly if they're still in the house. Well, when's it going to work out? When's everything going to work out? In due season. In due season. In due season, you will reap if you faint not. Thanks, Dave. In due season, you'll reap if you... Yeah, this idea that you have to have it right now is a really bad idea. Faint not. If you didn't know, I like to do CrossFit. For those of you that don't, fine. I think you'll find the illustration fair. The other night, there was a workout that we had to do, and it was called a Hero Wad, and it was a long workout, and we had to do 11 back squats at 185 pounds and what are called push press, where shoulder to overhead, take the bar from your shoulders overhead, 10 times at 135 pounds. Is that right, Seth? 135. About halfway through that workout, and you have to do that 7 rounds for time. So 77 back squats, 70 shoulder to overhead with 135 pounds. And it's kind of in my wheelhouse, so I was kind of excited about it. But about halfway through the workout, I thought, this is the worst experience of my life. This is like childbirth for men. It really was. Like, this is terrible. What am I doing? And I just thought, man, I'm just going to get this done. So I got it done. And then I looked over and Seth was there. Seth was working out next to me. And it was really heavy for Seth. Seth is a master at all things cardio related. Burpees, sit-ups, running, box jumps. He does that stuff all day long. Me, I look at those and fake injuries. So I'm just like, oh yeah, I injured my quadricep. I don't, you know, whatever. I injured my finger and I can't do a box jump. I mean, any way to get out of cardio, that's my plan. And Seth is over there working, and he got to the end of it, and John was there, and Seth had really heavy weight. And he's pushing, and this is what I kept saying, don't give up now. Don't give up. You've come too far to give up now. Keep going. And he's working, and he does this lift, and he gets it. He gets the bar, like, right here, and he's trying to get his head through, because if you get your head through, your thoracic muscles begin to work more. And he's trying to get his head through, and he gets his head through, and then it starts wobbling on him. And there's a guy right behind him, and I thought, oh, this is going to be a bad idea. This is bad news. And he's wobbling, and he re-racks the weight. Told me later, he's like, I got dizzy a little bit. So close. Don't give up. Don't give up. And you know what he did? He didn't faint. He went back, he grabbed the weight, he got it, and he got the weight out way under the time cap. He didn't faint. He could have. He could have made 1,000 excuses for quitting. But he didn't faint. You know what quitting really is? It becomes a habit for us. We fainted. Why? Because we fainted before. You know what I want to be in the habit of? Just working through till the Lord rewards. Pastor, what if that's 6 months from now? Then it's 6 months from now. What if it's 6 years from now? Then it's 6 years from now. What if it's 26 years from now? Then it's 26 years from now. But I'm not going to faint. George Mueller prayed for 3 of his friends to be saved. One friend he prayed every day for 28 years to be saved. Every day, 28 years. One friend he prayed every day for 37 years. One friend he prayed every day from the time Mueller got saved till he died 53 years later. His friend still didn't get saved. It wasn't until 2 months after his death that his friend got saved. I don't know about you, but that's an encouragement to me to not give up, to not be weary in well-doing. Pastor, I want to see more personal growth. Don't give up. You're growing. Pastor, I know I'm not where I need to be. None of us are. Just keep growing. Don't give up. Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. If I could communicate anything to our young people, it's don't give up. Don't give up. If I communicate anything to our married folks, marriage might stink for a while. Don't give up. Might be difficult for a while. Don't give up. In due season. Thank you. I remember my mom used to say, well, it's past season around here. Wow. My black German mom. In due season, you'll reap if you faint not. In due season. Don't give up. Don't take the easy road. Don't get weary. Don't get tired. Keep doing what the Lord tells us to do. Keep sharing the gospel. Keep supporting missions. Keep loving each other. Keep loving the lost. Show grace. Show mercy. Show peace. Show kindness. I don't know about you. And I was really praying all week long. Man, I've worried more about this message than the morning message. I said, Lord, what do you want me to say? And it was just a devotional thought that God's given me in my heart. We quit too quickly. Don't give up. Keep serving Jesus. Father, thank you for a time in the Word. Thank you for a great day today. We love you. Thank you for your love for us and the joy that we have in serving you and knowing you. I pray that you'd guide us and direct us today as we strive to be obedient to you. Thank you for being a God who hears and answers prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.